Blog Talk Radio.
God bless everyone. This is Elder Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. And we are here for our Sunday night.
Yeah.
Unrestricted conversations along with my brother. Pastor Sherman Boone.
Yes.
God bless everyone. This is
how y'all doing?
This is me, Elder Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio, along here with my brother, Pastor Sherman Boone. Dirty Church Radio, Sunday night, unrestricted conversations. Tonight, a lot of stuff going on. We normally come on at 8 o'clock, but tonight I'm coming on a little bit after 9. Pray that some people tune in. It's a blessed day.
Yeah.
A nice day outside,
yeah,
man.
Nice day outside.
Yes. A blessed day, man. We just looking forward to an awesome time tonight, discussion. You know, last week we dealt with gluttony, the church killer. Today is really kind of like gluttony, the church killer part two, but it's gluttony, who or what is profiting from your obesity.
Right.
You could call in. If you see it up there, the call-in number, I'm going to post it on the page too. The call-in number is 657-383-1471. And you can call in live and talk with us live on the radio show tonight.
Right.
Here with us live.
We're
looking forward to, you know, talking with a few of you. I know some people won't be on here. Everybody watching Sunday Night Football, which normally I'll be watching too.
Yeah.
But, you know, the assignment and the purpose comes first.
Right.
So we're looking forward to a great time tonight, man.
Right.
Last time we dealt with, you know, gluttony, we looked at it from a spiritual place and a physical place. But tonight, you know, we really want to tap into us as human beings, you know, what we're taking into our body.
Right.
The different things. Are we paying attention to what we're feeding our temple?
Right.
Is it important to us? A lot of times it may take as long. Yes. What's going on, Cuzzo? What's going on, man? As a lot of times, you know, we want stuff to happen quick.
Right.
And a lot of us, you know, whether you gain weight, and we're going to talk spiritual and physical.
Right.
But we're going to deal with physical, too. If it took you 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years to gain the weight, you can't think that you're going to be able to lose the weight in 24 hours.
Right.
It's going to take some work. It's going to take some dedication. And it's just like different problems and issues in our life. It's an accumulation of things that has been built up over years.
It's a process.
And it's a process. But we have to make up in our mind that I'm willing to stay focused until I get this stuff out of my life, until I get this weight off of my life, until I get these issues out of my life. I'm not going to make no excuses. I'm not going to look like I'm going to take a magic pill and all of a sudden all of this stuff just disappears overnight. But sometimes, you know, we take all of this stuff in our bodies and then we go to God and we pray. We want God to get rid of stuff overnight for us. And God is saying, listen, it's not just that I'm just trying to come and get rid of stuff for you. I need you to put some work in. I need you to make up in your mind that it's bad. Show me that you want it out of your life.
Right.
Show me a level of discipline that even when it gets hard, you want it out of your life that much that you're not willing. You're not going to be willing to give up. You're not going to give up. You're going to keep pushing and going forward. And like, listen, Pastor Boone, you know, last week we talked about gluttony, the church killer.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it, like I said, from a spiritual place and a physical place, right? But listen,
right.
if you look at today's time in church, and, you know, we talk about the Bible, we talk about the spiritual things, the prophetic things, right? But we eat unhealthy. We drink unhealthy.
Right.
We take all of this stuff in us. We don't even take the time to read the ingredients and find out the definition of what's in this food that I'm putting in my body. I'm putting so much trust in. these manufacturers, the stuff that they're creating, not even thinking, just blindly just eating it because it says this on a label. But the importance is, just like people, who are you allowing in your life that you have not read the ingredients, the small print
of who they are,
of who they are,
right,
what's attached to them, and how it can slowly destroy your life just like the wrong foods can.
Right.
Just like if I'm a drinker and I drink alcohol and I'm constantly drinking and drinking, never flushing out my body, never drinking water, then all of a sudden my liver gets messed up.
Right.
A lot of things, and I don't mean to offend nobody, but if the offense comes to someone and it would make you change, it would make you rethink your life, it would make you focus to say, you know what? I'm going to make a decision to live. I'm going to make a decision to take care of my temple, to take care of my body better.
Right.
Not for me, but I may be a father and I have children, I have a wife, and I have people that love me.
Right.
So I should love them enough that I'm willing to take care of me, that I'm willing to start going to the gym, riding my bicycle, making sure that I'm reading different things that can make me better, that can enhance my walk in this life.
Right.
And, you know, Pastor Boone, a lot of times, man, I think, and I'm not just talking about race, not race or not trying to make it a race card, but us, even those of us who are African-American, black, however you want to, you know, call us.
Yeah.
There are certain things that we take in our system, certain foods that we eat that's completely bad for us.
But you understand it too, man. Those bad eating habits that we developed as African-Americans.
Been passed down.
Really been generational from slavery.
Uh-huh.
Because what happened was we got the leftovers while the master got all the good parts of the pig. So we were left with the pig feet. We were left with the pig tail. We were left with the pig stomach. We were left with the hog maws. So what that happened was we actually made that and developed that into delicacies. But actually that stuff was really, really mixed because that was the refuse. That's what the slave owner didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is, as a result of that, genetically, high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, all heart disease, high cholesterol, all those things, our genes over time became somewhat open to, with a likelihood.
So what you're saying then is, the way to reverse that is the way that we change our eating habits. We have to break the chains of what we've been taking in our body. Listen. Have you ever watched this video? I think it's on. It's called "What the Health?" All right, "What the Health?" And on that video, it shows you all these different things that are in foods and what it creates. Different cancers, different, all of these different things. It's almost like you got these mad scientists out here putting all these different things in the food to create mass production.
Right.
All of the pesticides they spray on, you know, vegetables and all of these different things. And we take this stuff in our body. And, bro, we serve a God that we pray for. And I'm just talking from a spiritual place for a minute. I can't be so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good, where I'm saying, all right, God, I could just eat anything, live any type of way, do anything, and expect you to rescue me out of it every time. You know what I mean? I have to play my part in it. I have to make sure that I attach myself to things that's going to enhance my body, my temple. Listen, a lot of us, man, do you know, and this is deep right here, man, because there are a lot of people, man, who've had great dreams, great goals in their life, great things that they wanted to accomplish, right? Anointed, powerful people. You know what I mean? They had it, but they weren't disciplined in other areas of their life, where their destinies and purposes were cut short just by being good spiritually,
but not good on the health.
But not good naturally.
Hey, you'd be surprised how many great gospel artists that could have lived farther ahead than they lived died because of poor diet. James Moore died over related things related to sugar diabetes.
And this is no offense. This is no to anybody, but this is a wake-up call that we have to do better. We really have to. I believe in church, Pastor Boone. I'm gonna tell you, I believe that healthy eating. Let's find out the ingredients that's in the foods that we eat. A lot of us, man, our life is so busy. We're moving so fast. We constantly eating fast foods. We're not eating good slow cooked home meals no more. Everything is like microwave quick. Give it to me right now. But not taking the time to monitor the ingredients. That make sure that what we're eating, man, is going to be good substance for our body. Making sure we get all the nutrition that we need, just like we need the Word of God as nutrition that feeds our spirit. You know what I mean? But we're feeding our spirit great word, which takes us to a different level. But our bodies are breaking down, man.
Right.
The chemicals that we're taking in ourselves are breaking down. Right. We're overweight. We're underweight. You know what I mean? Some people don't never eat any food. They just, it's nothing but junk food on their diet. Some people, all they drink is soda. Never drink any water. And these are things that damage the temple. It's not just smoking. It's not just drugs. It's other things. Man, you can drink too much coffee and mess yourself up.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Eating too much fried food.
Right.
You mess yourself up. So what things, and today we're talking about who or what is profiting from your obesity, the thing you can't let go of, the thing that's making you fat.
Right.
And you know what? It may be offensive. It may be offensive to some people. It may be offensive to some people. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not on here to debate with anybody. This is not a debating topic. This is a topic about what can we do to make sure that we do better as a people, that we can live healthier lives. We need, if there's anyone out here right now that is even watching this and you have degrees or you have a lot of information on eating healthy, on eating better, and we're just talking about the physical part right now. We're going to go into the spiritual part too. But the physical part, you could call into the show right now, 657-383-1471. And we could talk. I only want people that's going to call in that's willing to help somebody. That's willing to help somebody that may be trying to lose weight, that may be trying to get a better menu for their families and for them to create something that they can break this chain, man, that's been messing us up. You know what I mean? No energy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That produces laziness.
Right.
And then all of a sudden depression starts setting in. You know what I'm saying? All these different things. And then not on top of that, bro, and not to cut you off, but the other problems we deal with just in life alone, other issues and relationships, all of these different things.
Right.
And I hear you talk about how all these things can create the emotional eater.
Yeah.
Where I'm not even conscious. I'm just feeding this flesh, giving this flesh everything that it wants.
It's called comfort food. You ever heard that terminology?
Yes.
Comfort food? Because some people feel comfortable, or like when you eat certain foods, it makes you feel a certain kind of way. And what happens with us is your diet is somewhat a representation of the balance you have in your life. If you have a balanced diet, it shows discipline. It shows you have a purpose, you have an agenda. It shows, okay, you have priorities in your life that you've set up, and there's some level of balance because you're not just balanced. You're eating the right foods because you're really trying to work towards a goal that you want to live to make it, to see it. And the reality is, a lot of times with people, with us, like, you ever notice that America is arguably the most depressed nation, and yet the most obese nation. And that's because we live in a society that masters filling voids.
What's going on, man?
Filling voids with other things. Filling voids with things that, okay, that is to fill a void. Like, so we eat to fill a void. People take drugs to fill a void. People drink to fill a void. People get involved in multiple relationships to get to fill a void. People get interest in their careers to fill a void. And what we have to be, and what we're talking about tonight is, why I'm trying to fill this void, who is profiting me off me trying to fill a void instead of solving the problem?
Isn't it crazy how what you constantly take in your body that can be destroying you, someone else is vacationing off of what you spend on it.
Right.
So someone is living the good life and probably eating the healthy food off of the money that you're spending on the unhealthy stuff. They're taking care of themselves. You know what I'm saying? So tonight's show is mainly about what can we do? How can we break the chains of unhealthy habits of eating, not just physically, but even spiritually? How can we break the habits of being connected to unhealthy people? And I'm not just talking about them being sick in their physical body, but their unhealthy characteristics, things that's not good for you, that create all different type of issues in your life. The same way the wrong foods and unhealthy eating creates in your life.
Right.
Like, how can we break that? I want somebody to call in. Call in, man. I want to hear your voice. You can call in right now, 657-383-1471. 657-383-1471. If y'all know someone that's really good dealing with health, they have a lot of information, I want them to call in. If you know them, tell them to call in right now so we can talk live, so we can get the help that we need. Because we all got some type of issues when it comes to eating the wrong things.
Right.
You know what I mean? And some of us, you know, we want to be healthy when January comes.
Right.
That's what begin with self-discipline is what helped me. Bro, I would love, man, for you, if you could just call in so we can hear what disciplines did you start with that helped you go in that area.
And what crisis came up to cause you
to make that choice?
Can I be honest? Like, really, we talked about this earlier today in church. Like, we really have to start really exposing the puppet masters behind the scene that are really profiting off of us not being healthy.
That's right.
Like, you ever notice it costs more to eat healthy than it is to eat fast food? Like, yo, man,
the number is 657-383-1471. That's the number to Dirty Church Radio. 657-383-1471. I want to hear from y'all because somebody, man, you never know who's listening to this right now that may be in that place right now. They really want to get some weight off. They really want to change their eating habits.
Right.
But yo, they don't know how to. They don't know how to begin. And what you can say tonight can be their new beginning. It can be their start to a healthier self. It can be something them that can empower them to say, you know what? I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of waking up saying what I'm going to do tomorrow. But I can make the choice today.
Do it today, man. I'm trying to tell you, every day, I'm going to give you a really short testimony of my situation. Back in August of this year, I felt like I need to go to the hospital. My wife would tell you, if I go to the hospital, it's serious. Cause I don't really go to doctors. I don't do hospitals. Most times I try to tough it out and that's it. But in this particular situation, I felt like, you know, I need to go to the hospital. I went to the hospital and the doctor said my sugar was 377. And that I was borderline type 2 diabetic. Which means, like, yo, and most times I say you're type 2 diabetic, I have diabetes that runs in my family. Most times if you're diabetic or type 2, it's only a matter of time, if you don't care for them, that you become type 1. and you gotta take needles and that nature, all kind of stuff. And what really inspired me really was I seen a post from Pastor Jason Miller, and he put a post, and he put a testimonial of where he was 3 years ago. And he said, 3 years ago, I was weighing close to 250, something like that range. It was probably about the weight I weighed maybe like in June of this year. And he said, within 3 years' time, he said, I was at that time, he was 250, and he was diabetic. But then in 3 years' time, he was down to probably 170, 180, and no longer a diabetic. So for me, when I seen that, it inspired me and said, yo, you can do it, but you got to do the work.
That's right.
You got to put the work in. And not only that, but you got to do it for yourself. You got to do it for your family. And you got to do it for those who really love you.
Wow. What's going on, my brother? Live with us here on the air, man. Keys, DA.
How's it going?
Man. It's going good, man. How you?
I'm not doing that well. I'm looking at the actual video. I'm watching it, and I keep seeing something really big on somebody's finger, and it's kind of distracting me.
It's a little bit distracting you. Oh, okay.
Hey, Keith, that's it, man. Like I'm still on set.
Oh, yo, this conversation discussion is really, really good.
That's something, man. Well, Keys, man, right now, there's someone right now that's out here that's in a place right now where they haven't even begun to take the steps to get healthier, but they really want to. They've been thinking about it in their mind. It's a war. It's a war. It's something that they've never done. You know what I mean? It's something. What words could you say right now that can actually, you know, help motivate someone to, you know, to want to just eat better, live better, get weight off of them? Like, well, how could you encourage someone in your own words and your terms?
Well, first of all, that's super, super, super hard. And it's not easy actually being accustomed to eating a certain type of way, and then out of nowhere, cold turkey, don't eat that type of food anymore. Like, your body would even physically react a certain type of way when you just automatically go cold turkey over, you know, certain types of food that you have been, you know, feeding yourself for a very, very long period of time. So even diets aren't healthy for you in that sense, because it's never good to just stop doing something 100% automatically all the time. So, but besides it being super, super difficult to actually not eat something that you've actually been eating for a very, very long time, that's, even though it's a physical thing, it's definitely a mental thing as well.
Right.
You know, sometimes, I mean, earlier you guys were talking about comfort food, emotional eaters, you know what I'm saying? And I think you said, Jay, some people don't even realize that they're actually eating certain things. It's just a ticket, just something that they actually do. So it's definitely a mental thing as well. So those are a lot of things to actually overcome. And you just wanting to do it, I don't think is good enough, because everybody just wants to do something. Everybody, you know what I'm saying, has a desire to want to do something. But to really, really, really do it, that takes a different type of effort, I believe. I believe it takes – I don't even – it can last when in situations where, you know, people like something dramatic happens and then they actually want to change their diet and stuff like that. That can happen, but I don't think anybody wants to wait for something dramatic to happen in order for – them to actually change their diet. The things that we actually eat, I believe part of it is habitual, because we're habitual creatures, and we do things because we've been doing it for such a very long time. And because we're such habitual creatures, we can't just say that we're not going to do something anymore. We're going to have to be able to do it, but whatever we do, it has to be healthy for us. instead of being very detrimental to us. So you're just going to have to change your habits as far as the things you do or the things that you actually involve yourself in, whether it's a workout regimen, whatever it is, it has to be something that you already do, but you just have to do something. You just have to do it differently. But it's something that you already do, if that kind of makes sense.
My question is, what if it's something that, okay, all right, I never worked out before, I never been in the gym, I never ate healthy, ever. And now all of a sudden, I'm making a drastic change. What are the challenges that you know of, you see guys walk in the mall all the time, you know what I'm saying? We go to the mall, we go to the mall early in the morning. People are walking in the mall all the time, you know what I'm saying? But what's that motivation you feel that you need to have to make that next extra step to make that actual life change in your life?
I mean, well, that honestly depends on the person. That depends on what type of things motivate them. It depends on, you know, for me, the reason why I lost the weight wasn't for me. I think if I would have done it for me, I wouldn't have done it. I think it was for, like what you guys said earlier, it was for somebody else. I have a family, you know what I'm saying? I had a dad who actually died because of unhealthy eating. And it runs in my family. So when I seen myself and I looked at myself in the mirror and, you know, I didn't even look like I knew I looked. And then on top of that, you know, I just had a baby and I got married. So I put on some weight. I put on a whole lot of weight. And I looked at myself and I didn't recognize myself. And that, for me, was the reason why I started. But in that starting, it was a lot of stopping. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but it was consistency. It was consistency in the sense of, because I'm a habitual creature, because I work off of habits, I had to make those habits last. You know what I'm saying? I had to keep doing it in order for it to be something. I remember Jay said something one time, like, if you do something for a certain period of time, it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
So that's basically, you know, that was what I did.
Wow. I'm sitting here, man. Yo, a question for you, man. Someone wants to know what your food regimen is. What is your menu? What's your diet? Honey and Wild Locusts?
What'd you say? I didn't hear you.
Honey and Wild Locusts, like John the Baptist or something?
No, exactly. Actually, what it is, I still eat the same way. I haven't necessarily changed my diet. My diet is still the same. I still eat pastas. I still eat. The only thing I don't eat is red meat and pork, and I don't eat it because those actual types of meat are unhealthy for me personally. But as far as, like, you know, all, like, breads and stuff, like, I didn't change my diet. What I did was I ate less of those things that I would eat a lot of carbs. I would eat less carbs, you know, so certain types of breads and sugars, I wouldn't eat as much of it. And my big thing was I worked out a whole lot more than my intake of food. So I was working out a lot more than I was eating breads and eating pastas and eating sugar and stuff like that. So that really, really helped. But as far as my diet was concerned, I didn't necessarily change my diet. I just had less of it. And then it became a habit to eat less of that food.
Okay. Yeah, that's something, man. You know, it's so, just talking about this thing right here, like, it's real important, man, because, like, I know a lot of people, I've had a lot of conversations, man. And a lot of us, man, we got some people, man, all they eat mainly is probably cheesesteaks, french fries. And it's in the store. You know what I'm saying? And that's mainly what they eat throughout the day. But I'm just saying, though,
those things constantly just eating, you know, month after month, year after year, year after year, month after month, year after year. Pastor Gibson, I want you to call in too. I got some questions live here on the air for you, dealing with this topic right here, dealing with the actual physical aspect of obesity, gluttony, and who or what is profiting from your obesity. Yeah, single man, yep, single man's diet. A lot of that. I'm going to tell you, man, I remember years ago when I used to smoke weed, and it's nothing like, man, when you catch the munchie, like, you like the cravings that you feel, I used to come home and I'll eat like a whole box of Fruity Pebbles, fill up potato salad bowls, just constantly trying to like curb that hunger, right? That hunger, like, you know what I mean? Like, Dad, why am I eating like this? The number is 657-383-1471. 657-383-1471. We want people to call in, man, that really know about healthy eating, knowing, dealing with, and dealing with how to create the discipline or help motivate people to push towards taking care of their temples.
What you eat represent how you think sometimes, man. I think personally, a lot of times, us as individuals, we have to monitor what we eat, and we have to monitor how we feel. Because I only eat according to what you feel. Like, yo, that's how you get people that, yo, get through a bad breakup and put on like 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Because they ate to kind of fill that void. So it's not just the situation. No. A lot of times we're talking about spiritual. We're actually talking about emotional things too, man. Because a lot of times, like, you know, for me personally, a lot of the eating habits I had developed was because of the emotional stress I was going through.
Yeah, man.
So therefore, I would eat even when I wasn't even hungry, because a void inside of me wasn't being filled. So that slice of pizza, that late bowl of ham hock and red beans, like that stuff right there was like how I got through emotionally, and I was killing myself in the process. And like, yo, you can't be killing yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. We got a caller on here. I don't know. So I don't know who number that is.
Yeah.
But so I was trying to let them go live so they could say something. It's like a 508 number.
Right. Now, be mindful, when you do call in, turn down the volume on your phones.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's not an echo that comes back and forth. So therefore, we can actually be able to hear you clearly and all that kind of good stuff.
Because we want to hear you. I want you to call in. We want you to call in whether you need some help or you're willing to help someone else.
Right.
So we cannot just, you know, have church on Sundays or just, you know, come together, dance, run around, but then we leave and we got unhealthy lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got unhealthy lives. Pastor Gibson?
God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Gibson. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, we're on here talking about, you know, who or what is profiting from your obesity. Dealing with gluttony, bad habits, the different things that we take into our bodies.
Uh-huh.
You know, how the church is overweight, is unhealthy, you know, full of a lot of different sicknesses. And we have to go to the altar of God to heal us from things that we could probably avoid if we just change what we put in our temples.
Yes.
So if there's some people out here that may be listening right now and may hear you, maybe they at the breaking point, maybe they just started trying to eat healthy, or they've been thinking about it but never initiated doing it. Like, what could you say to them that can, you know, help push them or encourage them to get it together, to make sure that, you know, they want to live a better, healthier life?
Yeah. So, definitely not the example of someone who eats a healthy, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I'm not 100%. It's a struggle every
yes.
day. I am a sugar, I have a sugar addiction, and sugar is the worst thing that you could put in your body. I mean, if you do the studies on what sugar does to our body and how it breaks down our insulin levels, sugar is the devil, right? So it's funny because the more sugar you get, the more you want.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is definitely it is an addictive thing. It's just like they've done studies on it where mice where they tried to take sugar from them, and it was just like a crack addiction for the mouse. Sugar.
Wow.
So I know someone who had prostate cancer. They were told they had prostate cancer, and they cut sugar. They didn't get no chemo. They didn't get no radiation. They cut meat and they cut sugar from their diet, and they don't have prostate cancer now, and they did not go through any treatment.
Wow. So changing their eating habits reversed the effects of cancer.
Oh, it healed their body. They don't have cancer. And it's
wow.
been about maybe 7 or 8 years. Yeah. So that's how powerful, that's a powerful statement about what we put in our body. So for myself, I've fought obesity like all of my life, right? And most of it, I work out like a dog. You know that. I work out 5 days a week. I'm in the gym for like an hour and a half, 5 days a week. If I'm not in the gym, I'm walking or I'm doing something, right, trying to fight obesity. But if I'm in the gym 5 days a week and I still eat unhealthy, I've done nothing.
Right.
So
right.
it's what you put in your body that matters. So our food intake is one of the most important things we could do. And the church is dying from obesity. And isn't it funny, Minister Jay, isn't it funny, Minister Boone, that we can lay down every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, except for eating unhealthy.
Pastor, you said a mouthful, because to be honest, I think one of the lost sisters, we talked about this last week, that the church has not even been, you don't even talk about it no more. Better yet, do on a consistent basis is fasting. And people understand fasting actually heals your body, because it allows your body to regenerate after all the stuff you've been eating. A lot of us eat. We don't even get rid of that waste of what was left over. You know what I'm saying? Like they say, if you eat 3 times a day, you should go to the bathroom at least 3 times a day.
Right.
You become eating processed food that doesn't process properly. Then what happens is we don't get rid of that waste out
yes.
of our system,
and that's where. When you don't get rid of the waste, that's where the issues start. That's where the diseases
right.
and the different things
right.
start creating themselves, manifesting in the body. It's the waste.
You also have to realize that different people have different types of intake. So my body may be totally different from your body. So I may be able to eat certain things that you may not be able to eat. So it's not necessarily a general thing that everybody can actually follow per se. And then you also got to understand that, it's very, very important to know your body. It's very, very important
That's
to
true.
Know your body mass intake, all of that stuff is good things. And then you also have to realize that there's good sugars for you and there are bad
That's
sugars
true.
For you.
Right.
A lot of the unrefined, you know, sugars, those are the ones that are bad for you, like the added sugars. Those things are really, really bad for you because just like you said, when you actually your body doesn't necessarily use it per se.
Right.
And because it stays there in the body, that's when things necessarily happen and things go wrong. But certain types of sugars from fruits and things like that, that actually can be good for you, very good for you. But again, it depends on your body type. It depends on, you know, what your health regimen is to keep you healthy as an individual.
Right, and I want to say this too. I just wanted to say this also. I was my doctor is Indian, right? And so whenever I would go to her with complaints, she would always say, "Angela, you have to watch what you're eating." I'm talking about this because of what the gentleman before me just said. And she was getting ready to put me on high blood pressure medication because my blood pressure was up there, right? And every time I went to her, it just got worse and higher and higher. And she said, "Angela, do me a favor. If you want to live, do me a favor." She said, "Cut out beef. Don't eat 30 days. And then come back in."
Mm-hmm.
So I did it. I want to live, right? So I went. I stopped eating beef. This was about 10 years ago, for 30 days. I went back in. My blood pressure dropped. I mean, tremendously. She said, "Do me a favor. I want to get it down a little bit lower." She said, "Cut out pork. Because maybe your body doesn't receive pork like someone else would. Cut it out." I cut out pork. No blood pressure medication. That's 10 years ago. That's by cutting out. That was no exercise. That was by cutting out food. So I haven't had beef or pork in about 10 years. I don't even eat. I don't eat chicken or turkey anymore either. But I cut that. I spent 10 years. So, yes. Maybe somebody else's body can eat pork. I don't think so, but maybe they can, and it won't react that way. But for me, it was cutting out those meats that really saved my life.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm sitting here thinking about, and I know, like you said, that everybody's body is different. But like you watch these different documentaries, you know, everybody's different. Metabolism is different, you know. Some is quicker, slower, or whatever like that. But on a lot of these things that I watch, it is so important to get rid of the waste out of your life. Like, that is so important. Like you just mentioned about fasting. Now you can fast, and that can heal you and all that stuff. But if you go on a fast for a certain amount of days, and then when the fast is over, you go right back to the same habits.
That's gluttony, right.
As a matter of fact, you're advised.
That's good.
But the thing about it is, like, yo, we have to, like, yo, we have to eat to live, man. We have to eat to live. And like, not live to eat. Like, we got to make our choice that, yo, you know what? I'm going to eat more lot of food. The other day, yesterday, I went to Shady Brook Farm, and nothing like taking an apple straight from the apple tree. Mm-hmm. Like a fresh apple, not something you bought in the store, but something that came pick it right off the tree itself, no pesticides, no added anything. Seeds are still in there. It was a natural apple. It's the best tasting apple I ever had. And I'm not even an apple
guy. It
is. It's like best tasting apple
ever. It's honestly amazing. You're absolutely right. I actually grow some of my own fruit and vegetables. And it just like you said, it literally tastes different. Not only that, but then you more so have an appreciation for it even more, especially like when you grow your own stuff. And I totally agree with you, Minister Boone. It's totally different.
So just hearing that, now look how so many people in this world are missing out on just that. Like never having the opportunity or never, you know, tasting something in its most natural state.
Organic state.
You know what I'm saying? Like for real. Like
yeah.
I remember growing up, my grandfather on my dad's side, in the backyard, he had a grapevine where we ate grapes about. These grapes was like from heaven. I'm telling you, man. Like, I never in my life, to this day, ever
you can know how important it is because you're still talking about it to this day.
Yeah.
That's how much of an influence it has.
All of my cousins, man, and my cousin Thaddeus Gabo, he was on here earlier. We used to eat them grapes off of that tree, and I'm telling you, man, to this day, I still have never tasted a grape like that.
No.
Wow.
To this day, and you want to listen,
wow.
You want
to get something in the same rhythm as the state. Now, and I think what happened is like this, because of profit, they like, yo, man, big business really, really got involved with the food industry. And they work hand in hand with the medicine industry. So therefore, that being said, like, yo, they make it easier for you to buy augmented, artificial stuff that they just change genetically or change the kind of way if they give you natural things that without preservatives good by itself.
Because it's the mass production,
yeah.
The injections and
yeah,
all the different
yeah.
stuff. They're like, yo, you need a lot of this. So
right.
you it's almost like, yo, you eating a chicken, right? That was, it was just hatched.
And then we
go, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, now it's like a full grown chicken. And it hasn't even properly grown the way it
right.
should. So now you eat all of this steroid stuff. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you waking up one day, you got bumps and lumps coming out of you from this stuff. Real stuff, and I don't mean to like say stuff like that, man. But this stuff, it alters your natural state when you taking this stuff in your body that doesn't belong in your body, because we're made
yeah,
up of
right.
chemicals. So our bodies can be altered with chemicals, just like a person sure. drugs. What does drugs do? It goes in your body and it alters your natural state, and you out here tripping. You out here doing all this type of stuff. Now just look at that with the food. What does it do to you? Look at all of the cases. Look, and this is sad, man. And my prayers is out to so many people. But look in this world, how many people have cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, just look. Like, look how many people. There's people right here that's watching that you've lost somebody or someone in your family is sick right now just from cancer.
But see, do you understand? Okay, we all know how devastating cancer is, like super devastating it is. Everybody probably knows someone that has passed by this awful, awful, awful disease, correct? We all know
yeah.
that. And even still, everyone knowing that, you still, food is such an habitual thing that we actually do that we don't, just like you say, we don't realize. Even though we know that, we still consume the food. We still, knowing this, we still
yep.
do it.
That's crazy.
You'll even have some people, because I've had people tell me this. Well, I'm going to die from something. I'm talking about the saints. I'm going to
yeah.
die from something. I'm like, yeah, but do you really think God is pleased with the way you're treating your temple? Because
yeah.
he wants you to be blessed abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, yeah, I
in your body, but that also includes in your body. He wants you to be blessed abundantly. You know, that's not just with money, but what about your body? It's just
yeah.
valuable, right?
It certainly is. Your body, you are supposed to be. Very, very important. If to nobody else, you're supposed to be that important to yourself. And if you're that important to yourself, how much are you willing to do for yourself, for your body? How much are you willing to do to continue to stay healthy, to be healthy, to find out what allows you to be healthy? But that lets people know, that lets you know as an individual how important you are
yeah.
to yourself.
Right. Right.
And it's a hard truth, and it's very easy to, like, skimp over and say, that's not me, or, you know, you just surpass it. But it's literally looking in the mirror at yourself. And even though you can lie to yourself, you still know the truth. And you know, looking at yourself, if you truly love yourself that much, whereas you can actually change, just like Jay was talking about, to alter, not allowing food to actually alter you in a negative way, but allowing your health to alter you in a good way.
Right.
Wow. Yo, like now I just add another research while we're on live. Just off the top of my head, because Leviticus was filled with nothing but God giving them rules and regulations. And what were the regulations he laid down for what their diet should be? But he regulated their diet. This right here, this kind of food is unclean. This kind of food right here is unclean. This kind of food right here is unclean. If you go kill an animal, you should kill an animal this way, where the blood comes straight, the animal is cleaned out properly. We went through a whole dietary, what we now call kosher, that he went through a whole dietary instruction on how they ought to eat. So I asked Adam Miller, what the life expectancy of a Jew? Off the top of the head, the life expectancy of a Jew, I'm going to have, on an average, 82 years old. It's the life expectancy of a Jew on average. I already know. If you Google the life expectancy of an American, I'm not even going to break down the African American. It's American. I know for sure.
Yeah, but you forgot a whole lot of other people too, Asian.
Yeah.
Who believe in Buddhism, and they have certain type of definitely depends on the diet, but I understand where you're coming from as far as the diet is concerned. Yeah, Jews are recognized to have a kosher diet, and the kosher diets are sometimes healthier, food is concerned. But a lot of their diet isn't necessarily always healthy. It just depends on your body type. It depends on how you function, how your genetics are, your upbringing, your upcoming. So.
Yo, it's this town. I don't know if y'all seen this documentary, but it's this town where these people in this town, they live the longest than anybody in the world. It's so many people that live into their hundreds. Like a whole lot of people that are 100 years old or more. And they live. And I believe they're vegan. They eat natural stuff. You know what I'm saying? They eat all natural stuff. I'm gonna go in here and try to find the group.
It was a group of people, like not recently, but within the last century, within the last, or still around?
No, it's a country or a town or something where in this place they live. Everybody here lives a long time.
Wow.
That wasn't What's Your Health, right? That wasn't in What's Your Health, was it?
I don't know. Was it? It's on a
document. Might have been in What's Your Health, maybe.
They live a long time. For real. It's a known thing. They live a long time based on what they eat, the importance. And it's so important, man. I mean, it's so important that we're even talking about this, right? When I look at shows, where you're seeing people that 1,500 pounds, 1,100 pounds, can't even leave out of the house.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can't even clean themselves. They need people to take care of them completely. And these people, some of them are 30 years old.
Yeah.
20, young people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That
just we forget sometimes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
They didn't start out that way, though. These are people that didn't start out that big.
My question now, I know some people who suffer from thyroid, that affects the weight.
Yeah.
And do any of us online on air right now, what the proper dieting for those who suffer from thyroid to kind of help them? Not the kind of, besides medication, of course, but to help them kind of manage their weight with that condition.
Yes, that's true. And I was also going to take it from more of a mental side. I really think we forget how difficult it is to change our diets. It's not easy. if we've been doing something for 30, 40 years, it's not going to be as easy to drop it in 1 year. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I know a lot of people aren't waiting for something dramatic to happen in order for their lives to change. So it's really not easy. It's a very difficult thing, a super difficult thing to actually do. People actually have mental blocks where they literally feel as though they can't stop eating. What do you say about people like that? Like, you know, people who really have disorders and it's not just them changing their diet. If it was that easy, they would actually do it. But it's something way deeper than that. Or it could be something imbalanced in them. Like, what do you say to people who, and to be honest, because, well, me personally, my culture, my Black culture I come up in, we don't necessarily check for certain things like that. As far as mental health is concerned, we don't check for stuff like that. We don't go to therapists. We don't do anything like that.
No.
So because we don't do those things, a lot of times we would never know. And we would more so just put it in the spiritual sense, even though ultimately it probably is in the spiritual sense. But, you know, surface wise, like, it's something that some people could mentally be struggling with. But we wouldn't know because we never got diagnosed. You know what I mean? So there are people who actually suffer from, you know, obesity or being overweight because of something mental.
Right.
Well, I definitely know it has to be mental too, just like a person who's like this less,
read things backwards.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So like it's a ward up in Texas somewhere. One whole floor was just nothing but, you know what I mean, who they don't want it, you know what I'm saying? Or they just keep bringing everything back up. Yeah, bulimic, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it is mental. A lot of this stuff definitely is mental.
And I think the church really has to develop some part of what we are, where we don't make people feel uncomfortable dealing with things that, like, yo, we have, like, we say all the time, like, yo, you got dentists for your teeth, right? You have a doctor for your emotions. And God pays people in your life to be people on earth who are still in dealing with those emotional things. And I think especially the Black church, had to really start developing a compassion for those who struggle with those things and not ostracize you. Something can't get cast out. Something got to be counseled out.
Yes, you're right. I have a question, if anybody can answer. What message can a preacher or anybody at that matter generally speak to people who may be suffering from all types of different things? Like, is there a general message that someone can preach to actually get somebody out of having that obesity mentality? Since everybody's, you know, situation may be different.
Well, honestly, I preach to myself. Okay.
I like that.
If you put a piece of coconut cake in front of me, I gotta preach to myself. Okay. And that's just the truth, because that's how bad my addiction is. But anyway, I think my message would just be one of how much God loves them, because God does not want us to be sick. He loves us so much that he gave us his only son that we can have life, right? And not just any life, an abundant life. You can't tell me that if you are taking 7 and 8 pills a day, that you're living an abundant life. There is no way that when you lay down in your bed, and I've experienced this before, so I can talk about it, and your chest is laying so heavy on your heart that you can barely breathe, that is an abundant life. That is not an abundant life. That is not how God intended us to live. And that would be my message, that God loves you too much for you to live beneath your privilege in your body. God wants us to live healthy and whole life. That would be my message, bro. And I just want to
somebody
say
would...
very quickly. I want to say this very quickly. My sugar addiction, because we're talking about mental, right? We don't get counseling or anything. I can tell you where it came from. It came from my grandmother. Because I didn't like to eat vegetables. I would not eat rice. I would not eat grits. Anything I would not eat, she would put a teaspoon of sugar on it. To make, and but I ate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that habit continued all through my life. Sugar on grits, sugar on rice, sugar in my vegetables, sugar on everything.
Wow.
Now you try to break that 58. Now you try to break that in 58 year old habit.
Yes, super difficult.
Very difficult. So it's a fight. It's a battle. That is no different than anybody else fighting with any other habits
so
that they have. Smoking is the same thing.
So true.
Same kind of habit.
So true. And I like that you. First of all, that was an amazing message that you would actually preach. Somebody would have to come up with something better for me to be convinced of any other message that they would preach on that. I mean, preaching love makes the only sense to me. But just on what you call it, I like the way you say addiction, because it is an addiction. It's something your body becomes physically dependent on. And that's why, because I remember a time where I actually had to lose a certain amount of weight because I was competing, and I couldn't eat sugar for I think 2 weeks. I physically had changes where I was moody, very upset, angry. A lot of things happened to me because of the lack of sugar that my body was used to actually having, and when it didn't have it and when it craved it, these were the effects that I actually had. So it actually is an addiction because it alters how your body reacts. So I just wanted to say, like, how important that is for you to keep saying that. That's awesome.
How long did that last? How long did it take for me to get past that?
You're talking to who?
Keys.
How long did it take me to get past what?
Withdrawals.
Like the withdrawals.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the fight.
Oh.
Like, how long did that last?
If I can remember correctly,
time. You know, they go through a serious case of withdrawal. Like, and other things, there's a lot of things that you, like, if you're addicted to it and it's been a part of your life for a long time, you go through withdrawal. Like, how long would you say your withdrawal was?
Less than a week, but more than 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, and then after that, then I didn't have those feelings anymore. I wasn't upset. I actually had more energy. I was way more alert. It was very, very, I can tell the difference. Big difference. Super huge difference.
That's deep, man, because the sad thing about all of this is someone is living a very rich and wealthy life off of your unhealthy eating.
Yeah.
Off of your bad. Someone is living good. And the thing about it, they're probably, and they're eating better than you.
Yep.
Like, they're taking care of them. Like, they're doing the proper things, but they're living the good life. They're vacationing. You know what I mean? They're buying real estate off of your unhealthy habits.
Absolutely. And that cooks the food to their diet, like, yo, like, and meanwhile, we're just eating. It's like, you ever notice there's no whole food in the hood?
So listen, it's deep, even with the water, and I'm not trying to say it like this, but I remember I was with Mike one time, and we was riding around, and in the city, there's a certain amount of waters that they'll have. But when you go out into like different, better neighborhoods, even the bottom will change. Yeah.
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 True. So it's always like, you know, the Bible says, the best I guess, first of all, is inside you, which I think there are systems that are set up in this world that are benefiting off of the sickness and unhealthy lifestyle that they sometimes, the economic situation, sometimes through stress situation and just by society or certain laws, certain things that go on in our society now, you know, stress is a push of like, yo, we eat all kind of crazy stuff and they're benefiting off.
Man, we gotta fight for our life, man.
Yeah.
We really fight for our life. And a lot of times it may take us to do some research. And I said this earlier in the thing, we need to really start researching the ingredients that's on the label.
Right.
To know what we're actually putting inside of our bodies. You will be surprised with those small little prints, those little words, what it really is and what it is slowly. It's so important, man. And this thing right here, I mean, I'm really, this is like gut checking me. Like I'm really checking myself and examining myself. Because I know for sure that I have to make a very important decision in on what I'm doing in my life, not just in my life, even in my children's life, even in creating the atmosphere that I won't pass down the bad habits to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we pass stuff down without even thinking.
And Tom,
yes.
Not in your testimony was very, very powerful. Your addiction started from something that someone who loved and cared for you.
Yeah, sugar on grits.
You
know what? That's my aunt. I'm the nephew, and it reached me. Because I put sugar in my grits. You understand?
That's how we eat. That's how we
would
eat at the table.
Yeah.
And it wasn't somebody that was actually trying to hurt you. It wasn't somebody who had bad intentions or they were malice or no, it had nothing to do with that. It was somebody who cared about you, who loved you, who just didn't know.
That's right.
Right. And what the word says. So. Perish through
the lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Like once you come into the knowledge of truth, right? Walk therein.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what we need. We need the church. We need those the pastors, the leaders, to get this information so that they cannot just have a church full of spirituality, but a church full of healthy people.
Right. Right.
So that they vision.
I got to play devil's advocate here, Elder Miller.
Okay.
Because if you want the church to get involved, that means that our bishops and our apostles have to get healthy.
That's true.
You're right. Down.
Okay,
that's true.
I want you to look in our. Now, listen, I don't say this to offend anybody, but let's be real. Look around the churches. I'm not just talking about Trenton. Look around. Look on TV. Look at our leaders. That is one subject we will not touch.
Yes.
We will not touch that subject. You know why? Because we'll offend our own self. We will offend our own self. But we'll look at our neighbor now. It's so funny. At our leaders' conference, Apostle Parker is my apostle. But we were at our leaders' conference, and one of the preachers was preaching to us, and he started talking about this subject of how the church was dying. And he said, isn't it funny you'll send the homosexual to hell, but the one that's fat, obese, sick, from gluttony, we tell them they go into heaven. But gluttony's a sin. Now, I know everybody ain't gonna agree with that, of course, right?
But why wouldn't they agree with that?
But gluttony is a sin.
Do you know why?
Well, my question is, why wouldn't someone disagree?
That's what gluttony is. You have no self-control. You have no control. You have no control. You're not. There's no discipline there.
So how can someone be against that?
Well, just like someone can be against the truth.
Right. Don't want to know the truth. Why? Because it hurts them personally.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think all of us have had that hurting moment that made us make a choice. I think we've all been there. Like, sometimes you need that hurting moment so you can do something about it.
You want to hurt me? Yeah. Hurt me with that. You got to tell me. And you're alive with me. Start taking it. And in my mind was, wow. Well, I never took a pill a day in my life, Jay. I never had to take medication as far as being my lifestyle. When he told me that I don't watch what I eat, don't change my diet, get away from the sugar, get away from the bread, get away from the carbs, I ain't do those things, I would have to start taking meals. Wow. Nah. That don't fit me. That don't fit me. And relabeled energy drinks are the devil. I'm telling you right now. Read the eight label energy drinks. 52 grams of sugar and one energy drink.
Listen, man.
One monster has 52 grams of sugar.
The whole world is created.
Wow.
Everything is moving so fast.
Right.
And it wants you to get caught up in that cycle of everything moving so fast. You can't make a clear decision with clarity because you're just rushing everything. Take this so I can stay awake, so I can have the energy to keep moving. To keep working, to keep doing this. Then you're caught in that cycle.
And lack of balance.
And then eventually, your life, your health, and everything starts slowly breaking down. That's why it's important that we take a minute. Those of you that are listening, that you take a minute, sit and think. I have to do something about my life. I have to do something about the intake, the food I eat, the people that I allow in my life,
yeah.
And what's to them. Not just everything. I have to really think about what is going to make my life unhealthy. And anything that's going to make my life unhealthy, I have to make a choice that and refuse to allow it to exist in my life. And whatever I need to do to empower that thought, because it starts with a thought, but we need that thought to be empowered by something that makes it become our reality, that I'll go from unhealthy to healthy. And then I'll continue to set on. You were saying something?
Yeah, I don't know, for some reason, first of all, I'll ask this, I have a question. I don't know the young woman's name on the phone.
That's Pastor Gibson, that's my aunt, Angie.
Okay, Pastor Gibson, I have a question for you. What,
the author of Colors of God that we did the,
okay, awesome. I want to know what was her, like, what was that thing? What was that final decision that made you say, hey, I have to lose this. I have to lose this weight. I have to become more healthy. Was it the devastating news from the doctor?
No, it was how I felt.
Okay. So it was physically.
Yes, I just didn't feel well.
Okay.
I just did not feel well.
Minister Boone.
Also, I'll say this too, and also, that was the first thing, right? But the second thing was, I did not want to go. I know people that are on, so many people on blood pressure medication, right? And they always say, anybody I know that's on it, they say it's hard to find the right pill for me. And they get, they're sicker. They have all these side effects. And when she said to me, Angela, I'm going to have to put you on blood pressure medication, all I could think about was, you are not putting me on anything that's going to make me worse than I am. So I'm going to try something else.
Minister Boone, yours was the doctor telling you that you would be on medication for the rest of your life?
He's no longer on the show. He just left. Pastor Boone had to go.
Okay. Okay. But I think that was his, right? He said that he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him that he would have to be on certain type of medication.
Yeah, that he would have to eventually, if he didn't do anything about it, he would have to start taking a needle.
Now, I have a question. For you. Did you have that epiphany in your life?
Yeah, man.
What was yours?
You said what was mine?
Yeah. What was yours? If you remember what yours was.
High blood pressure.
High blood pressure.
Yeah. And the thing about it though, right? It was for a lot of different reasons, like dealing with anxiety about things, different personal fears, different failures. You know what I mean? Different things that, you know, get in your mind. Like I always, even in the doctor, like when I would go to the doctor, right? Just seeing the white jacket, right, would make my pressure go up. Like it's like just going. Word is mine. It was the mind. Like the mind is powerful, right?
Yes.
But
check
this. If I go in there and I play, let's say Mozart. One time I went in and I just played Mozart. I had headphones on and I put it on. Mm-hmm. Listen to music. When I went in there and I was calm, pressure good. So a lot of times when you're told certain news about certain things, it can take your mind and it can create. And if that thought is in your mind, it can make the situation even more worse because you start worrying and everything. So my thing is, all right, I have to do something about this physically, start eating better. You know what I mean? Start, you know, taking care of my life, you know what I'm saying, in a whole lot a better way, you know what I'm saying, to not just, even in my mind, start feeding my mind better things, you know what I mean, not just focus on negative things, you know what I mean, but let me put something in my mind and my spirit that's peaceful, you know what I mean, looking at different things, having better conversations, not just communicating with the negative people, but having conversation building that can build something in you. You know what I'm saying? That creates peace.
Yeah.
War really is in your mind. Your mind can destroy you, bro. Your mind
is absolutely right.
Right now,
I have
just the unforgiveness that's in their heart and the bitterness that's in their heart has created sickness in their life.
That's true. I have a question for you. I have two questions. The first question is, have you ever considered actually going to see a therapist to actually work on your anxiety? That's the first question. And the second question is, do you think it's a difference in, like, how men react to going to the hospital or the doctors? Than how women react to going to the doctor.
Big time. Big time. With men, normally, well, I ain't gonna speak for every man, but ones I know, something really got to be wrong for you to be like, all right, I'm on my way to the doctor. I mean, that's the truth. It's a bad thing.
You're right. You know? No, you're absolutely right.
But it's not like we volunteer and be happy about having to go to the doctor. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. Why do you think that is?
Yo, man, fear of the unknown, fear of what can be said. You know what I'm saying? Some of us would rather.
How come women aren't scared of that? Like, or how come they don't show it as much as men?
Well, I don't know.
Are women more fearless than men?
Possibility. Look with women.
No, we're afraid. No. I think we just show it different.
Show it different?
I think we just, yeah, I just think we show it differently. Because I'm afraid every time I go in, you never know what they're going to say, right? And my pressure's up every time I go in, too. But I don't know. I don't know. Do we go to the doctors younger than you guys? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either, because I do agree with Jay that, especially the men that I know as well, the culture that I came up in, it's very, very normal for men not to go to the doctor unless
it is
one of our legs fall off.
Yeah. Yes.
But so that's
I do.
Why I wonder if it's because we were taken more, maybe women or girls are taken more to the doctors
probably
at a young age or something.
Maybe it could possibly be. It could possibly be that. You know what I'm saying? Women,
that's something to look into.
Women get checked. They have to go, get the different pap smears. It's a lot of different things women go to the doctors more for. Men, we ain't going into this type of pain that we feel is not. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But once you experience that, you're like, all right, I think I need to go. But my thing is, we start taking care of ourselves and getting more comfortable, you know what I mean? And easing up some of these different fears because listen to this, Keith. Right now, I think so many people deal with anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could just go to Facebook and just see something that you've never seen in your life. Like in this day and time right now, all the young people, they can go on YouTube, they can go on Facebook, see people killed, murdered, all these different things, visual thoughts that when we was younger, we didn't even never even dealt or was able to see that.
So true.
You know what I'm saying? But now it's the norm now. So everything has become desensitized in the mentality, you know what I'm saying, of different, you know what I mean? But really, it's still causing trauma to our brains and in our minds.
That's true.
So like now.
And not only that, but even how, some of us grew up, I grew up in the inner city, and a lot of things that we grew up seeing, and a lot of things that these certain kids grow up seeing inside their neighborhoods where people are getting shot and they don't even blink an eye. It's more like, oh yeah, Bobby down the street. Oh yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he got shot. Where he got shot? Oh well. And then you just go on with your day. Like, it has become normal. So a lot, like you said, a lot of this stuff, yeah, it is trauma. It is some type of anxiety because. But we don't even realize, a lot of us don't even realize it. Like somebody, who doesn't necessarily have the understanding or any type of knowledge beyond their environment, they might not even realize that something that you realize, like, yo, I have anxiety, you know what I'm saying? And a certain time I go to the doctor, I just have anxiety or whatever the case is. Somebody might do that and not even realize that it's anxiety. You know, they may not even know, even realize to know, what they're experiencing. So I think it's important, honestly, to have all of them, to have your mental doctor. I think you need a physical doctor, and I think you need a spiritual doctor, all three of them.
It's
and I don't think one can do them all.
I think his name is Clint. I or A or something, he does all these different videos on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a video on there where he says that there are some people who get their teeth clean, or more worried about their dental health more than their mental health.
Oh, wow.
So, like, more people go to the dentist, right, and make sure that their teeth are clean, flossed out and washed and deep cleaned, but never go their thoughts and their mind clean, never go get their mental checked. So, and he said the mind becomes filthy based on what you put in. So, what you watch, if you're watching nothing but people being murdered and killed, and you're watching all different type of sicknesses, and you're dealing with the thoughts of different people in your family's dying, dealing with loss, and dealing with being broke, and dealing with poverty, and you're dealing with all of these mental things, right? Having a moment to cleanse your mind.
True. That's super true.
He said a lot of our lives are so messed up because our mind has become contaminated. It's never been cleansed.
It's become obese.
It's just obese. Our minds are obese. Our minds are so gluttoned because, listen, we're so quick to listen to the next gossip. We're so quick to focus on issues of other people, taking on all these different things. You know, this person cheating on their husband over here, and that person cheating on their wife over there. And we watch all of these different shows and issues, and then we bring all these thoughts in our own personal lives in our house, and we never hit the reset button. We never just like a computer. I can go back right here. But there's a time that you have to restart it.
There's
a time that you have to, like, flush these things out. There's a time that you have to get rid of these cookies that are created. You know, all these different pop-ups.
Maintenance clean.
So how many of us keys got all these different pop-ups in our mind? All these memories, these haunting whispers of thoughts that creep up. It happened 10 years ago, but it's still popping up today. We cover it.
You're right.
We mask it and cover it with the next issue. So we move on to the next issue. Never properly dealt and cleansed the previous issue. So we got all this stuff cluttered, mashed all together. You know what I'm saying? And never with the proper thing. You know, so... It's deep,
I have another question for you. What do you think about parents who are healthy? Well, not necessarily. They may not necessarily be healthy, but parents who have overweight children who aren't overweight, though. Like, the parent isn't overweight, but the child is overweight.
That's another thing, though. You know, my thing is like this. I believe it's very important that we monitor our children. Like, I'm being honest, that we just don't give them everything they want to eat and just let them just eat so unhealthy and just take so much stuff in. Everything. I think we have to train them early to start eating healthy so they can know. Matter of fact, not only just eat healthy, for them to know what they take in their body and what it can do for their body. You know what I'm saying? And that's the important thing, man. Like, yo, right now, Keith, right now, if I have an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 7-year-old, right, that's way, way overweight. As a parent, it's my responsibility early that we deal with that now so it won't be there later. You know what I'm saying? And listen, a lot of problems is us in our adulthood is because we never dealt or no one helped us deal with our issue in our childhood. You know, it's just like this. It's just the same thing. A person who dealt with great rejection in their childhood and they never got over their first moment of rejection. And now in their future, in their adulthood, they live their whole life based off of that first moment of rejection. And the first moment of rejection happened in their childhood. But that's the gauge, that's the measurement tool that they approach everything with. So I was hurt. So now every decision that I make in life will be based upon that moment of hurt. You know, but it's so important, bro, that we cleanse our minds. The same way we clean our teeth. We make sure we get rid of the plaque, get rid of the tartar, get rid of the cavity, all that stuff. We got mental cavities. We got mental plaque. We got mental tartar that's in our mind.
So true.
Cleanse. But the thing about it, how do we get to that point to make the decision that my mind needs to be cleansed? Not just not just going to a church service and in that moment my mind will be cleansed. I know God can renew our minds. And he says, you know what I mean, that our minds should be renewed, that shall be our focus. Let your minds, you know, be renewed. You know what I mean? And that's so important, for the renewing of your mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we always need to have a renewing mindset, meaning that we don't allow things or the wrong things to take root and begin to grow trees in our mind. That we have, we create a flushing system. You know what I mean? That like, yo,
yes,
man, it's not main here. But a lot of times, Key, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. Because
this is how I actually operate. I actually allow my spirit to be motivated. So I use my spiritual life to motivate me to work on my mental life to get my physical life in shape. And it works for me.
Your spiritual you empowers your mental and
to actually fix my physical. Actually move, like you said, yes, my physical.
I got that. But this show right here, I do believe it's so important that we have our spiritual, our mental, and our physical together. But the problem is, you got your spiritual together, and you say you got your mental together, your physical should show the evidence of that.
Exactly. You can tell. Oh, man.
I believe that. I believe that the physical should show the evidence of what's in your spirit and what's in your mental.
That is super true.
It I believe.
Can't help but to show it. I mean, that is basically God in his entirety, because he has a spiritual aspect of himself, he has the physical aspect of himself, and then he also has the mental aspect of himself. And all of those things, all of those personalities play out, and you can actually see the evidence in the head all the way to the, you know what I'm saying, the end, from the beginning to the end. You can actually see it, and I think that's so true what you said. You literally should be able to show your evidence of how healthy your spiritual and your mental based on your physical. That was awesome.
And bro, thing too, right? Being big or health or over or weight is not just, it's not gluttony or obesity is just not the evidence of like in a person's bigness. You can be skinny and you eat unhealthy. And like and a person that's bigger than you can be way in better shape, more
healthier. Yes,
It's just not in that. It's in your mind. So, like, it's your mind that produces, man, these results in our lives. So the thing is, man, our spirit and our mentality, and to eat to better our lives, not to overindulge, not to go overboard, not to eat like we're pigs out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like with just taking on anything, 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 anything. And then the next thing you know, we need Pastor Gibson or all the bishops and apostles to lay hands on us so we can get well. When if we would have just ate well, we would have been living well.
Yeah. Now you're looking for God to do a miracle when all you could have done is just live your abundant life and just be blessed. But now you're looking for God to make a miracle happen, because the miracle is you are 700 pounds and you want to be 100 pounds. That's a miracle. You know what I mean? So I don't think we should wait for miracles. I think we should, you know, live in our blessed, abundant life.
I believe that too. I believe one of the biggest problems is, and whether you agree or not, that we're always looking for a miracle when it's not a miracle that's needed if you just be obedient.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you won't need the miracle if
you won't need it
to eat better. You know what I mean? To study better, to cleanse your mind, you know, mm-hmm. to cleanse your thoughts, you know. Stay away from the parasites and the leeches of people. You know, change your environment, change your connections. All of those different things. You won't need the miracle. You won't need the great breakout or the great bailout for God to come in and do certain things if we follow the path from the beginning and not be detoured. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So right. I honestly think that I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just think, man, that it is so important for us to make a constant decision that if I say that I serve the Almighty God, if I say that He's my Lord of Lords and my Kings and Kings of Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think loves me. All right, let's reverse it. We should love him enough that we take better of our lives. We should love him enough that we take care of our temple. We should love him enough to be thankful enough to say, you know what, I'm gonna make sure that I keep this body properly oiled, properly cleansed. You know what I mean? And
that's what I was gonna say.
Not to put things in my temple that I know will destroy me. So I'm a monitor. Read the labels of life. I'm not just going to eat anything. I'm not focused on. I'm going to read the small print of things. I'm going to learn the definition of what's on the can. What's on it? What is this ingredient? Is this ingredient poisonous? Like, what is it really? Of my temple. And I believe, man, if we begin to eat right, focus on the right things, like, yo, we can reverse the effects of a lot of different sicknesses that we experience and things we go through if we monitor and not just trust anything that we put out for us to eat. Anything, we just eat anything and we become gluttons, out of control. And we eat all of these things, Keys. We eat all of this unhealthy stuff. And we said before that other people become rich, they live great lives, while we become sick, and our sickness puts us into a greater poverty state. And then we just keep that mentality on to the next generation of unhealthy eating, the cycle, being poverty. Not taking care of ourselves. So we got to break that chain. We got to break that mentality, man, because we're husbands, we're fathers, and we should eat to want to live, to be around longer, to be there so we can be there for our families.
And I think that's the main goal right there.
Yeah,
as soon as you realize to become selfless,
that's right.
I think that's the start. When you realize that your obesity can actually kill you. whether it's spiritual obesity, whether it's physical obesity, or whether it's mental obesity. Once you become selfless, I think that's the start.
Wow. So before we end this show, I just want everyone to think real quick. What is that one thing that has been so unhealthy for you that you've been a glutton to it, and it has created a high level of obesity in your life, whether it's food, unhealthy eating, unhealthy people, or unhealthy things? Whatever it is, let's make a choice not to take another breath, not to take another step with a mindset that say, I'm going to keep allowing this poison, this destruction in my life, but that I will make a choice that I'm going to live better, and I'm going to monitor what I allow in my life, around my life. And I'm going to make sure that whoever's connected to me will have the information that I gain that's making my life better, and share it and pass it on. So let's fathers, let's us husbands, us brothers, us nephews, the women, the mothers, the grandmothers, us as a people, let's do better, let's be better, let's eat better, let's live better, and let's destroy that spirit of gluttony. Because all gluttony is man out of control with no self-control. And when you have no self-control, you have no discipline. When you have no discipline, you will ultimately fail. This is Elder J. Miller. I'd like to thank my brother Keys, DA, for being a part of this show. Dirty Church Radio, every Sunday night, unrestricted conversations. Thank God for my brother, Pastor Sherman Boone, the guest host here. Until next Sunday night, I want you all to be blessed. Live on purpose. Live well. Let's eat better. Let's make it happen. And like Will Smith said, let's go. Peace. See you next Sunday night. Unrestricted conversations.